This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Thursday, March 6th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news stories from around Wyoming. One of the most debated bills to pass the Wyoming legislature this season had to do with property tax relief. Wyoming Public Radio's Chris Clements reports the 25% cut was signed into law this week.
Single-family homeowners will see the 25% cut applied to the first million of their home's fair market value. Lawmakers in the House and Senate heavily amended the policy as it traveled through the Capitol building, eventually removing funding for local governments that will lose property tax revenue because of it. Casper Mayor Ray Pacheco says the change from a 50% exemption to 25% is a little bit better for his city, but he's still worried.
I can say for sure and go on record that it's going to affect some of the services here in the city of Casper to some extent.
He says Casper will likely lose $1 million out of its $16 million reserves. City staff will have to determine what services to cut in the coming month. The bill is in response to boosted property tax rates in some parts of the state. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Chris Clements in Cheyenne.
The new head of the U.S. Forest Service highlighted logging, wildfire prevention, and recreation as his focus for the agency going forward. Tom Schultz wrote about this in an introduction letter to employees on Tuesday. This comes after the abrupt firings of thousands of Forest Service workers across the country, including Wyoming. Many of those let go were qualified to fight fires, help with fire suppression, and maintain recreation trails. The former Forest Service chief stepped down a week ago, saying he had no control over those firings and was concerned for the future of the agency. Schultz comes from a timber and mineral extraction background, but he says a University of Wyoming class in environmental politics helped shape his view of public lands, which includes active forest management, like more timber sales. Schultz says he wants to hear from employees. He's holding an all-employee call this afternoon and is taking pre-submitted questions. Federal worker cuts are intended to slash government waste and bureaucracy, according to the Trump administration, but Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Mertzbach reports that some small businesses say they've been harmed in the process.
Ben Noreen runs a company that's developing technology to help horses and humans with tendon and ligament injuries. They had planned to run trials to get their product to the market, but now that's all delayed.
Kind of our worst fears came true.
Noreen's company had depended upon National Science Foundation funding. He had the green light to receive funds, but hasn't been able to access them because the person who administers hundreds of thousands of dollars was fired. About 10% of the federal agency's staff was let go amid the tsunami of cuts coming from the Department of Government Efficiency.
It certainly doesn't improve efficiency in my mind, because now all of the grants are being administered much more slowly than they were before.
A judge has ordered some of those Science Foundation workers be brought back, but Noreen says he and other small businesses are for now uncertain about what's next. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Mersbach in Jackson.
Governor Mark Gordon signed five bills into law yesterday. The majority had to do with insurance and tax codes. One provides tax exemptions for surviving parents of Gold Star veterans. Another allows third parties to access dental care service plans and use a virtual credit card to pay providers. Today is the last scheduled day of the legislature. They're expected to wrap up business by midnight. Pregnant Wyomingites will now be required to have a transvaginal ultrasound 48 hours before getting abortion medication. That's after the Wyoming Senate joined the House in reversing Governor Mark Gordon's veto of a bill requiring the procedure. The override vote was 22-9. Transvaginal ultrasounds are done by inserting a wand-like device into a woman's vagina to check for a fetal heartbeat. Some lawmakers said the bill is not intended to protect women, as its supporters have suggested, but is meant to make abortion inaccessible. In his veto letter, Gordon said the legislation could re-traumatize women who are the victims of childhood sexual abuse, rape, or incest. It's one of two measures that were recently challenged in Natrona County District Court by a clinic that provides procedural and medication abortions. And at the same time, the state's two near-total abortion bans are facing legal scrutiny of their own from the Wyoming Supreme Court. Real estate leases for 5 federal offices in Wyoming are supposedly being terminated. That's according to the DOJ website. And as Wyoming Public Radio's Caitlin Tan reports, this includes a Green River office intended to keep local coal and Trona miners safe.
Mine Safety and Health Administration, or MSHA, field offices scatter the country, usually placed near mines.
Say there is a disaster and MSHA needs to be there right now. That's what the field office is there for.
Marshall Cummings is a Green River Trona miner and local union president. He was shocked by the DOJ website listing. Along with Green River, 28 other MSHA real estate leases are allegedly ending nationwide.
Just like the language they used to identify the spending being reckless and wasteful, this is reckless and irresponsible.
Cummings says without field offices overseeing workplace safety, people could die. Wyoming Public Radio called the Green River field office and was hung up on. The D.C. office told WPR to contact the General Services Administration, which didn't respond by airtime. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Caitlin Tan.
Governor Gordon signed two bills banning transgender people from different public areas this week. One prohibits public school students from going to restrooms and locker rooms that do not correspond with their sex assigned at birth. Layla Spoonhunter is a community activist on the Wind River Reservation whose Northern Arapaho, Eastern Shoshone, and Ogallala Lakota and a Two-Spirit Wyomingite. They say teenage years are especially difficult for trans youth.
The fact is that now your identity that you know who you are is being invalidated by elected officials, and it will put trans youth in a position where safety is an issue for them.
Supporters say the law is meant to keep what they call biological men out of sensitive areas. It goes into effect immediately. The second bill bans transgender people from sex-designated public spaces associated with the state more broadly. And now let's hear from Ivy Engel with some lighter stories from around Wyoming.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. A Buffalo resident and his niece recently returned from the hardest hike they've ever done. Northern Wyoming News reports David Albright and his niece Alyssa are avid hikers. To celebrate her upcoming graduation from med school, David planned a trip up Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa. The two of them scaled 19,000 feet of elevation over 55 miles. The elevation change was the hardest part. Their next adventure will take them into negative elevations, scuba diving at the Great Barrier Reef near Australia. Eastside Elementary School in Rock Springs has received a Kindness School certification from the Random Acts of Kindness Foundation. The Rock Springs Rocket Miner reports the school is one of only 110 worldwide with the designation. They're challenging administrators and other schools to join the club. USA Today has named a Wyoming woman to its 2025 Women of the Year list. Lynette St. Clair is a member of the Eastern Shoshone tribe. She was selected for her, quote, work to preserve the Shoshone language and culture through education and advocacy. And the Laramie High School boys swimming and diving team recently claimed its 8th consecutive Class 4A state championship. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And now for today's Wyoming trivia question. Who is the city of Laramie named after? Send us your answers for all of this week's trivia questions to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com. We'll crown winners on Monday. That's it for today. Thanks for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Join me again tomorrow. And remember to subscribe to get Wyoming Debrief automatically downloaded to your phone and start your day on an informed foot. While you're there, please consider leaving us a review so that other people can find us.